If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is Duke Nukem, and when I'm not out slaying aliens and saving Earth's babes, I'm listening to Podcast Unlocked. Hail to the podcast, baby!
Podcast Unlocked.
Welcome to Podcast. Did I catch you by surprise there, Marty?
I was shocked.
You kind of jumped back there.
You even counted 3, 2, 1, and I got scared.
It is Podcast Unlocked. It is the world's scariest Xbox podcast.
Because it's Halloween.
No, because
that's on the 31st, Destin.
But yes, that too.
It's the Halloween episode.
This is the last episode before Halloween, so therefore it is the Halloween
American
episode.
Halloween.
Right.
It's a different day than other countries.
Than Canadian
really?
Halloween.
Is that true?
Nope. Made that up. That's a lie. First lie of the episode.
Count the lies.
Mm-hmm.
How many? Do a shout every time Marty lies.
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that.
Yikes.
I'm Ryan McCaffrey, Destin Legarry.
Hi, everybody.
Marty Sleva, the liar. Sean the Shark Finnegan.
Hello.
Hello. Famous last words. I'm gonna couch this up front. Here we go again. Not a lot going on this week, So you can probably look forward to a 6-hour episode.
Yeah, Exactly.
Glad I made it.
Or something breaking during the episode.
Oh yeah.
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 Or as the rule goes, right after.
Yeah, we're 90 seconds in and nothing's broken yet.
Yeah. Oh, and then so like breaking news.
Oh, that breaking.
Yeah.
Oh.
Something will also probably break.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed the Jeff Bartram interview last week, talking a little Operation Supply Drop. It was great to have him in here. And hopefully, I saw some kind tweets about our Gears of War 4 spoiler cast. Mm-hmm. Which, if you have not listened to it, is the last thing in last week's episode, which is episode 268. So you can go back. What did it end up being, like 20 or 30 minutes long?
I think so,
like that?
Yeah. We could have talked for like an hour. But
yeah, we totally could have.
We all had a bounce. The more I think about the game, the more I like it. I really liked it when I finished it.
Yeah, and you tweeted some really strong impressions.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite big AAA game of the year, I think.
Maybe would agree with that.
Yeah.
I really liked Uncharted 4, although I actually didn't end up finishing it. I still haven't finished it.
It's impossible to finish it because it is far too long.
It's a little epic.
Yeah, just never ends. Really outstays its welcome.
So replay value.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying to help.
I think the thing I liked about Gears the most is that the campaign is like 7 hours long, and it is that like
it's just
perfect
tight.
Length. It's tight.
Yeah.
There's no filler. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. What else? Mm-hmm. Oh, the Vince Zampella IGN Unfiltered. That's the episode for whatever month this is. October. That's it. I should probably find a November one, shouldn't I? That might help.
You could do one
of
us.
It was nice of him to drop by because he works on tight. Never mind.
he didn't drop by. We had to go.
Yeah,
to
I flew
spot.
There. I dropped by.
I like how that's the thing I did pick. Actually,
in fact. Can you mansplain to Destin how Unfiltered works?
It was nice of you to drop by.
Stand by for Ryan Fall.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Poorly. Oh, man. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're ramping up some fun stuff on there. Mm-hmm. YouTube.com/IGN Unlocked. And we will have
shenanigans afoot mm-hmm. on that website, mm-hmm. I think.
Shenanigans afoot.
On that yep. their YouTube website.
Good band name, Shenanigans Afoot.
Shenanigans Afoot. Yeah,
it sounds like an Irish folk rock.
Yeah,
doesn't it? It's like a like a Dropkick Murphys yeah. kind of thing.
It's a Dropkick Murphys cover band. Yeah,
we are Shenanigans Afoot.
16 people stabbed at the Shenanigans Afoot concert last night.
Why are they getting stabbed?
Shenanigans.
Those are you went right for the
yeah. That's like
that's an intense shenanigans.
Stabbings are the most prime shenanigans there are.
We can't just be like drunken disorderly conduct. You got to go right to the attempted
yeah.
murder.
Yeah.
Man,
yikes.
Marty Sliva.
Sorry,
unless that was all a lie.
The second lie. No one got stabbed at the Shenanigans Afoot concert because it's not a real band.
They got stabbed with their ear holes. Got stabbed with delightful music.
Oh, the idea of being stabbed in the ear is terrible.
Here we go.
This is what happens.
We're just going straight off the rails.
Yeah, sorry.
Already. Anyway, so Titanfall 2, just getting into that. That is freshly out. I was a little frustrated last night. Every game's like this, but I installed it. It's like, okay, we're ready to play. So I get in. I'm like, okay, right to the campaign. Here I go. And I run through the tutorial, which there's like a little sort of speed run thing that teaches you the mechanics. And then I finish that, and it's like, well, okay, if you want to go back again, go for it. Otherwise, jump on in there. And right on the wall, it's like install progress, 74%. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So I just let it sit there, and it never finished, and I went to bed. So
yeah.
I'm going to start it tonight.
Ooh, yeah, there's a like go-to-bed mission.
The
I like
install,
this.
The install was like in the environment, like digest yeah. in the environment. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the install, the part about the install
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah, other games
cool
have done that kind of thing. Yeah. But it's yeah, at least you can just run the training over and over trying to beat your best time.
Mm-hmm. That's why I always let games install like 200% before I even try and start it.
I usually
Lest
do.
That happens to
but
me.
I thought it was ready.
Yeah.
Right.
But it wasn't. It turns
I've
out it wasn't.
More, in like the last like 4 months, there have been so many moments where I'm like, I really want to play this thing, but I can't yet because either it's not installed or I need an update or something. And like by the time yep. this stuff happens, I'm like, I don't even want to play a game anymore. Like after yeah. the hour, I think I was complaining. I don't know what game it was where I had to update my console, install the game, update the game, and then update my controller. And I was like, "This is
oh,
I'm just out of spite. I'm just not going to play a game."
Yeah, well, I've done things where on PS4. I'm trying to go redeem a code, mm-hmm. but it's like, all right, first I have to update the system software, yep. which you know on Xbox they're infrequent and it's
yeah.
kind of done more in the background. And then it's okay. Well, let me go. All right, now that's done. Now that it's rebooted twice mm-hmm. and that's done, let me go into the store to redeem my code. Nope,
gotta
update for that. Like, oh man, but yeah. Xbox, it's the same way. You try to get into your game, and you get that initial surge of hope, and then it goes to that black screen of this game needs an update, 6,000 gigabytes. Like,
monsters.
Oh come on,
yeah,
really,
real bad.
Video games. All right, we'll come back, do what little news there is, and possibly for once, maybe might have a show that's under 3 hours long. Right after this,
that was a lie.
Okay, so first up this week, this is a little inside baseball. I'm going to admit that up front if you want to skip this. I don't know, jump ahead 5 minutes or so. But
jump ahead to hour two.
Yeah, pretty much. But this is relevant. It is inside baseball, but it is also relevant to you, the audience,
as well. The story was really big on the site.
Yeah.
So people do care.
So Bethesda has they actually posted an official news release on their – well, a blog post on their site. They will no longer be sending out early review copies for any of their games. Now, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on this because I don't want to come off as this is sour grapes mm-hmm. on IGN's part. But the fact of the matter is they tried to say that this was like, oh, well, they're still going to – they opened it by saying – we love game reviews, or you know, we love reviews, and then sort of the rest of it was about how they're not going to enable reviews to happen anymore. But to me, guys, this is about not having people cancel their pre-orders before mm-hmm. before their credit cards are charged. That's the end of it. I mean, it's a business. It's about money. It's not about necessarily
sticking it to reviewers or sticking it to traditional media outlets like IGN. I think at the end of the day, it's we have run a bunch of studies and we had our test case with Doom that says we'll either make more money by not having reviews out there, or we will remove the risk of losing pre-orders and thus losing money by not having reviews out there.
Yeah, and to clarify, like, reviews will still exist.
Of course.
Just not for day one purchases, which for a lot of gamers who are the hardcore audience that come to IGN, they're looking for that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're interested, like, should I buy this game now or should I wait?
Well, especially in, like, a busy fall season when it's like, there's a cool game that comes out every week. Yep. What am I going to spend my, you know, $100, $200 I have allocated towards gaming this season?
Yeah, and, like, I appreciate the perspective because, yeah, like, this does affect IGN directly because we all work on reviews here, even if we're not reviewers ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, me and Destin have to produce video, and that takes a long time to get the game captured, to pick the right clips, to align it with the script, record that VO. Well, the fact that we don't have access to any of these games anymore, frankly, a lot of these games are really big ones that people are very interested in. That makes it
Bethesda's
all but
not
impossible.
Exactly known for making little 3-hour inside type.
Well, and also it's not just reviews, it's graphics comparisons, it's wikis, it's features, it's getting a game day one and having a starter guide of 10 things you need to know when you start the game. Like, well, we don't know what that is yet because we're starting when you're starting.
Yeah, basically just makes our job a lot harder, and basically a lot of people may fault us by saying, well, you're just interested in your own livelihood, and that's part of it. Obviously we'd be lying if we weren't saying that, but really what we do in terms of the content is for the audience. Like, we're trying to give that to you so that you can make a better choice about the game.
I was going to make that exact point. It's I will absolutely say without a doubt, yes, we have a horse in this race. This does affect IGN's business. So you may dismiss my opinion or the Unlocked team's opinion on this, but it affects us, but it does also affect you. If you don't have, there have been a million high profile examples over the years of a well hyped game that maybe you've pre-ordered and then the reviews hit and it turns out the game didn't quite turn out like you'd hoped it would, and maybe that review or reviews, I'm not saying just ours, but reviews helped inform
you $60
or just informed your purchasing decision. Maybe you still bought the game, but you kind of had your expectations recalibrated, or maybe or the other way, where there was something coming up where you didn't, you weren't expecting much out of it, and it gets really good reviews. And you go, oh, cool, I'm going to go buy that. So, yeah, you're right, Sean. It's still going to happen, but we just, with Bethesda specifically, so with the inevitable Elder Scrolls 6, with Prey,
Fallout.
What's the rest of their lineup? Oh, the new Wolfenstein only secretly announced.
Quake.
Yeah, Quake.
Dishonored.
That's the next big one. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We will do not look for day one reviews. We'll have day one impressions.
Oh, yeah.
The review in progress. That's sort of what that product was born out of, and now it will seemingly mm-hmm. get even more use. But yeah, no more full scale.
And it's not just reviews. I mean, it's not just Bethesda. Like, we saw it this fall with a lot of 2K games, like Mafia, which I reviewed. I started when everyone else started, so I did play through it that weekend and get the review up. And
WWE 2K, yeah.
So if you are the type of person that pre-orders a game, I think I just want to ask that you be mindful that the content that will be coming out pre-launch is going to be very controlled and very regimented. They're going to ask that it's gameplay clips. They're going to release all their very polished pre-produced trailers, probably on the best hardware that they possibly can, to make their game look the best.
Well, they always do that anyway.
To make sure the game looks the best they possibly can.
Yeah, of course.
We do know that they send out these code to YouTubers and Twitch streamers with a caveat that you can't necessarily be critical of the product.
Sometimes. That's not a blanket statement.
Correct. That's correct. So I just want our audience to be mindful that that is the content that you're vastly going to be bombarded with.
Just don't pre-order games.
The safest thing you can do is not pre-order. Not fall for the pre-order incentive where you get a bucket helmet that you can wear or something silly.
Bucket helmet?
Yeah. I don't know. You get those silly pre-order bonuses. And just be mindful of how you're spending your money. Take that stuff into consideration and just make sure you're making informed buying decisions as well as you can.
Yeah. Well said, Destin. Now I will add, the last time the pre-order discussion came up, I had a million replies saying, hey, well, on Amazon's, like Amazon specifically was the most, was like you get 20% off if you're a Prime member. And that's big. But In most of those cases, that discount still applies within the first week of purchase. Mm-hmm. So you could still wait for reviews. You could still wait to see. And it's not even necessarily about reviews. It's a game might be horribly broken when it launches, and you might want to hold off, or at least you might want to just wait till it either smooths out or...
Or a game just might run significantly better on one console as opposed to the other.
Very true.
Yeah,
that's very true. So,
I just don't want to see our audience, our listeners, our readers get burned by anything like this. And be careful out there, you guys.
I was going to say, like, going along with what you're saying, like, there's definitely incentives to pre-order things, especially if you know that you're going to buy this game. But, like, in my mind, you have to weigh the pros against the cons, which is like, is there any situation in which what you gain from pre-ordering a game is worth the price of paying for a game that you hate?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a super limited special edition where if you don't pre-order it, you're probably not going to get this cool statue or this thing. Like, I get it. Like, there are certain things. Or
the Prime discount or like the Best Buy Club's like usually like a $10 thing or whatever. So there are definitely tangible reasons.
Or a lot of times if you pre-order, you might get the previous game in the series for free.
Yes, that happened with South Park. Yeah. I think, didn't that even Dishonored?
Dishonored, that might be from certain places.
You know, it's just, we would never tell you exactly what to do with your money. It's not our job. But our job is to help inform you about how to best allocate your resources. Mm-hmm. And that's all I want this conversation to be is, we're telling you about Bethesda's policy, which they made public. So just be wary of that whenever pre-ordering one of their games or anyone's games is. But in this case, particularly Bethesda, because you will not see reviews from any major outlet, any independent outlet, until, you know, depending on the kind of game it is, in days after release. Which again, I've been doing this a long, long time, and that's. It's follow the money. I mean, it's an old, dumb cliche.
So when people inevitably show up on day one of Fallout 5's release, and they're like, where's your guys' review? We will point you to this segment.
We're sadly having to write those little articles on the website more and more often.
Well, this is why we have reviews and progress at IGN, because for so long, like, you know, Call of Duty would launch, and a lot of outlets gave it a high score, and then it launches and it's a disaster.
The online.
Like, the online's a mess. Well, stuff like that.
Battlefield's a better. Call of Duty is pretty much launched.
Call of Duty has traditionally been very good.
Battlefield 4 is the prime example.
That was the catalyst for.
I'm thinking before Battlefield 4, the first time this happened was with a Call of Duty game.
Well, we're also ignoring that big one.
Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. Those are newer examples also. They're also good examples, and that's why we do a review in progress. We just wait a day or two to see if the servers are settled, and then we're able to put a final score on it. But we do launch with scores now.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is...
usually.
Bethesda can control when media has access to the game before launch with preview events and preview coverage, but once it goes out into a reviewer's hands, they don't have control anymore. So they sort of run the risk of something negative being said and making even one person go, oh, I'm going to cancel my pre-order. And they don't want that. That's, you know, they want that money to get from your pocket into theirs. And that is the goal of that's their goal as a business. So just be aware. Just be aware of this policy going forward. And, you know, we are obviously not thrilled about it. We are going to do everything we can to revert that policy, but we're going to continue to do right by you as we can. So, you know, these guys will all be cranking hard as soon as we can get access to the game. You know, Marty, you had to do that exact thing with Mafia 3, where you got it the day it released in Australia. It was the first public place in the world, and then by the end of that day, you'd had, I don't know, 8 hours in or whatever, and you had impressions, at least of the early part of the game, to at least help our audience however you possibly could.
Yeah, we're going to keep doing this. It's not like we're not going to cover Skyrim Remastered. Yeah, it's not like we're not going to cover Dishonored. And it's not like we're not excited for those games. Like, 100%. I'm so stoked for Dishonored.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Kind of tangentially related, I wanted to the topic, but like more of a broader scope thing for you guys, is like, have you ever... I guess my question is, like, as reviewers, do you guys see reviews... like playing a huge part in like how well a game does? Like, if
Bethesda clearly doesn't.
anymore.
Right.
And I don't say that with malice. I'm just like cold. This decision tells me they don't think reviews are, because a lot of publishers, especially in the older days,
reviews can only hurt.
That's what Bethesda's saying. That is my interpretation of what Bethesda's saying. But it used to be where
sales
reviews could really help you, and they were seen as very valuable to the launch of a game. But now Bethesda's, I think, saying otherwise.
Reviews absolutely can help. And I know just anecdotally, like if there's a smaller game and I review it and I'm like, this is amazing, like with Gone Home. I gave it a 9.5 and a bunch of people were like, no idea what this was, but you gave it a high score and I trust you and I played it and it's great.
Here's a great recent example, Dying Light.
Dying Light, exactly.
That game took off and sold huge in part because it got good reviews and the word of mouth spread on it.
That game is good.
Yeah, I was looking at our review traffic this year and stuff like indie games like The Witness and Undertale, they did amazing traffic because we gave them 10s. I mean, that's in part, people are like, whoa, IGN doesn't throw around 10s lately. What's going on here? So I imagine at least someone bought those games based on our reviews.
Yeah, and see, that's kind of what I wanted to bring up because, like, personally and just speaking here for myself, like, reviews never deter me or encourage me to see or not see or play or not play a game that I've already made a decision about. So, like,
yeah, that's fair.
Example is I just saw Jack Reacher 2. Terrible movie. But I'd already made up my mind that I was going to see that movie. Yeah. So when the reviews hit and they were bad, I was not like, well, I'm not going to see it.
Right.
And I have to wonder that maybe there's a lot of gamers out there who feel the same way. It's like they have their mind made up about a game, so whether or not the reviews are good or not has really no impact on whether or not they buy that game, which means that the sales, in effect, are or are not, whatever they were going to be, reviews part of the process or not. So I guess, like, I just wanted to know if you guys thought that that was something, like a trend that you guys saw, because you both have been around for a long time.
Well, I think a lot of people felt burned by No Man's Sky, for example.
Sure.
You know, like, that's a game where I was very excited about.
Yeah, there's probably got to be some examples and where it's, like, very clear that bad reviews caused this game to sell worse or the other way around, even.
I just wanted to add to Destin's point, that was a game where review copies were not sent out.
Yeah.
You know, which was cited as a day one patch was cited as the reason for that. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, that's there were no day one reviews for that game. So that's kind of the... That's the other side of the Doom coin.
You want to know what happened with No Man's Sky? Go look on Steam and see the reviews of that product. And you'll have a pretty clear indication of how the community felt about being misled about what it ended up
being. Things are certainly changing. I mean, I personally, possibly because I've just do what I do and have been doing it for a long time, I absolutely use reviews when I buy something. I mean, a great example is... whenever I want to get something on Amazon and I'm trying to figure out what to get, like if it's, I don't know, if, I guess a good example is a couple years ago I got rid of my old gas-powered lawnmower. I'm like, I want to get a little electric lawnmower. I have no idea which one I should get. And I used Amazon user reviews to help inform my decision. So, you know, sometimes you know exactly what you want. Like you're talking about, Sean. Like, well, totally seeing this Jack Reacher movie. Whatever, it is going to be whatever it is. But I think for many people, many gamers, reviews definitely either at least help them or provide them some sort of service. Either maybe sort of confirming their purchasing, confirmation bias, or. Giving them a reason to.
I mean, hey.
Because, like, I'll read reviews when I have no idea what it's about.
Or, yeah.
Like, if I have no instincts of my own, that's when I look to reviews. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm about to upgrade phones because, like, my phone. I don't want the iPhone 7, though, even though I think the camera is really great, because I hate the headphone jack thing.
And so the new OS is awful.
It is really. That's so true. So I was looking at the Google Pixel, which is an Android phone, but I haven't had Android phones ever, so I know nothing about that ecosystem. I'll read a review.
Sure.
And it was pretty helpful.
Also, in a perfect world, all game reviews would be Final Fantasy XIII-3 Lightning Returns, because I reviewed that, and I got the game 2 months early.
Whoa. Yeah.
Welcome to the like 8 years of my career.
That was great. The game came out in like February, and I had it before Christmas.
That's crazy.
This is great. Let's do this.
Well, that's back when games used to be done in advance and not done
the good old
weeks
days
after release.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because now all the pressure is put on the developer. If you release a bad product, you're going to have a No Man's Sky scenario, you know? Like, the community is not going to take it lightly if you mislead them.
Yeah, I guess, so, like, the kind of silver lining here is that, like, traditionally Bethesda's really good about their games.
Yeah, I mean, think that, Skyrim's going to be fine. Like, I don't think you're going to run into a PS3 versus Xbox scenario again, where the PS3 versions was pretty rough.
I mean, that's another thing, though, is, like, that is, like...
Yeah.
That's relevant information.
Yeah, like the fact that the PS3 version of Skyrim still is a mess.
Well, and as I remember the PS3 version of Fallout 3 would straight up stop working.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I at the time worked at OXM, so mm-hmm. we only got yeah. the... Was the PS3 version of Skyrim sent out for reviews, or did they only... Because I know it used to be, in the last
Pretty
generation,
sure we had
they would usually only send one version. And back then, the 360 version was kind of usually the default version.
Yeah, yeah.
That
I was not in the
send,
industry at that time.
Anyway, that's I guess
yeah. that was that Skyrim.
Yeah, you were. You were working on Start because I did the Skyrim wiki.
Oh, you're right. 2012 then, right?
Wabbajack.
You do gloss over a good point there, Sean. And that's yeah. I mean, they can get Bethesda can get away with this for Dishonored 2 probably, and you know. With Fallout 4 and the bigger stuff, but what about, you know, when you've got a relatively untested, unknown thing like Prey, or some of these other, you know, smaller new IPs or smaller things, what then? You know, it's will the lack of reviews sort of hurt that product by not having that sort of push if it's good, you know, that sort of like elevating effect, or, you know, if you get into a Boy Who Cried Wolf situation enough where you get enough bad games that weren't able to have reviews out there, do consumers start to lose trust in the company at that point? Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you lose the trust, you lose your pre-orders. It's bad business.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But in any case, that is the message to pass along. So Dishonored is the next example. We will have a review in progress as close to 11/11 as we possibly can. Which, gosh, oh my gosh, that's like 2 weeks away, isn't it?
That's real soon.
Oh, man, it's coming up quick.
Yeah.
Oh, that means the election will be over soon. Thank God.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to just not see that stuff in my Twitter feed.
Oh, you and me both.
It's going to still, it's for like a month after the election, you're still going to be hearing about it.
But the election will be over.
Yeah.
Dishonored will be out, PS4 Pro will be out, and NES Classic will be out.
So we can just
life
play
will
games,
get a lot better.
Play games and forget about
forget
all that.
About the election cycle.
NES Classic will be out, and if you didn't get one day one, you're not going to get one in 2016.
Oh, take my money. I just don't want to get snubbed on allocation for that. And I know I just said don't pre-order, but it's... It's a closed ecosystem product of 30 known things that I already know I like.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like, isn't it pretty cheap too?
Yeah, 60
like
bucks.
Yeah, like, yeah. Come on.
I was really hoping that at the Switch announcement, you were going to be able to pre-order the Switch before. The
oh, man.
I was really hoping that was going to happen.
Extra burn. Yeah. All right. Anyway, on a related note,
I really
talking
like
about
the story.
Bethesda. Destin, if you can't get enough Elder Scrolls V Skyrim in your life, there is soon to be Skyrim Monopoly.
Yes. This sounds great. Like, why not? They do all sorts of theme monopolies. They have a Star Wars Monopoly. Skyrim is a major property. Like, it did traffic for us for, like, 3 years after launch. It still does traffic today. But, like, I'm talking, like, some of our top wiki traffic. So this is really exciting to see that we're going to get a Monopoly version
Skyrim. What is the boardwalk property of Skyrim? That's what it's called, right? Boardwalk, the most expensive property.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Boardwalk and Park Place.
Yeah. What is the boardwalk of
the
Skyrim world?
Wouldn't it be the dragon's home up on top of the mountain there, you'd think?
I'm asking you guys.
I haven't played it in 5 years.
Guys, I didn't actually get that far in
I'm going to give you all a hot take. Monopoly is the worst board game of all time.
No, it's not. It's fantastic.
Come on.
Monopoly.
I'm
crying.
I hate Monopoly.
Why?
It's such a trash chance game.
It takes forever.
You make up
it
your
has
own
no
rules.
Skill. No, that's not a good game. That's a bad game. If you have to make up your own rules for that. hellscape of a maw of 3 hours of your life.
It eventually devolves into, like, in order to get one player out, you form alliances. Yeah. Like,
I will say,
it just takes forever.
I would venture a guess that 1% of all Monopoly games are ever finished.
Yeah.
It takes about an hour if you're four players to finish a Monopoly.
That's a speed round.
The trick is if one person gets all three properties, then that person's probably going to win. If nobody trades, though, that's really hard to do. I like Monopoly.
Play a better board game like Settlers of Catan or something.
Put checkers.
Monopoly's great.
I want Skyrim checkers.
Play the original board game. Wait, is chess older than checkers?
I would think so.
Chess is definitely not the original board game.
No, it's not.
That's why I'm joking when I said that, but now I'm wondering if it's older than checkers.
No.
I think checkers is older.
No, dude, like there's games.
Welcome to IGN's number one checkers podcast. Yeah.
Board cast.
What's the game in Japan that a lot of people play with?
Go.
White? Go. Yeah, Go's the Super oldest Mario one Brothers. That I think I know of.
No, Super Mario Bros. Is the oldest game.
That's the oldest board game.
Very first board game.
Skyrim Monopoly will allow players to buy and sell property around the realms of Tamriel, from creating villages in Winterhold to breaking ground on massive castles
Winterhold
in Windhelm.
Is the place.
Yeah. All the lore, characters, and locations will be straight from the video game. When released in March 2017, Skyrim Monopoly will cost $48.
That's a little pricey.
Well, that's a little much. That's a little much, considering you can get a regular vanilla Monopoly for, what, like $10, $12?
I can't think of the last time I bought a board game. Or saw anyone else buy a board game.
By the way,
we have a lot of board game enthusiasts in the office.
We do.
Yeah, we have a show.
Yeah.
If one of whatever they're calling chance in community chess, if one of the chance cards isn't "you took an arrow to the knee, lose a turn," they will have failed it completely. Failed out of opportunities.
Are we going to have to hear about this all over again now that the special edition's coming out?
Yes.
Taking an arrow to the knee, coming back.
Yeah. Whoever made that that music video is probably going to get a million more hits on YouTube.
That thing's probably still generating a million hits every month.
My first million view video was an arrow to the knee montage.
Really? My first million view video for IGN was that Skyrim Super Bowl thing that we did on 1UP.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Giants.
That almost kept us alive. Almost. If only we could have just done one of those every week.
We tried it again in the future, and it just didn't traffic again. I don't know why that one blew up. But
I don't know
totally
why. Because it had the heart of 1UP.com, where gamers call home. Until 2015.
just
gamers
side note,
became homeless.
Go back and watch some of the features that we produced on 1UP on 1UP's YouTube channel, which is still around. Right?
You had the box that rolled out and it to the
more like none of.
We had some crazy features. There's one where Jose's being stalked by the Solid Snake statue. It keeps like appearing behind him, and he's like, "Guys, look!" And then they all look, and he's gone. Like, and he goes crazy. There's a lot of weird stuff on that channel. That was awesome.
I 100% want a Mass Effect version of Monopoly.
There isn't one.
The Citadel could be Boardwalk.
There isn't one already.
I understand that reference now.
You're 2 hours in.
I'm 5 hours in.
What's the last thing that happened in your story?
Who have you made out with?
I haven't made out with anyone. Evidently, you can't have same-sex relationships in Mass Effect 1.
Not
so
one.
You can if you're a lady. I'm a femshep.
You can if you're a lady.
No, people on the internet have told me no. Not Mass Effect 1.
Well, okay, you can have human-female and female-alien relationships.
I don't know. That's not what the internet told me. But
they're
in the
wrong.
Citadel.
They are 100% wrong.
No, the internet's never wrong. I'm in the Citadel. I have Rex and Garrus now, who are much better than Ashley and Kaiden or whatever his name is.
Those two are the worst.
Yeah, they're both terrible. I wanted it. I tried.
No,
I was
Ashley
flirting
and
with
Kaiden
Ashley.
Are the worst.
I was flirting with Ashley.
Whatever.
And it turns out Ashley's a space racist.
Yeah,
people
she's
tell me that
it's true.
No, she's just
you
a
know
pro
what?
Human.
She's a space racist.
The internet,
she straight up is racist.
The internet needs to stop sort of spoiling things for you by telling
that's
you.
That's why I was going
to
say, like, when I saw you tweeting about Mass Effect, I'm like, someone's going to tweet you what happens in the story, and that's going to ruin it for you.
Oh, dang. All right, like, I'm going off the grid.
Just play through it. The Elcor?
The Elcor.
Oh, I love
they're
the Elcor.
The best. Where they say, like, the first line of everything
well,
they say is, like, the emotion.
Their emotion. They describe their emotions.
It's so great. Yeah, so.
Because they can't emote. That's why.
Yeah.
There's also
enthusiasm.
A joke. Yeah.
You're
a joke,
going to love this game.
There's also a joke later on where it's like, one of those Elcor is like starring in a Hamlet adaptation, and I'm like, wait
so
a second.
Yeah.
So the combat in Mass Effect 1 is butt.
Yeah.
Especially coming off of Gears.
It's not that bad.
It's butt. Oh, coming off of Gears.
Coming off of Gears, which is like a near perfect third person combat engine.
Yeah. You have to remember that Mass Effect 1 came off the back of
Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
so it, which was real butt.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That year, that game is 10 years old.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Next and year, nine.
I mean, what
nine.
I'm saying is like.
I round up.
That combat's butt. But I really don't care because the story and the characters so far are fantastic.
Yeah, I
love
say,
like, Citadel is such a rad place.
It's so what good,
makes,
isn't it?
What makes
like,
it feels like,
yeah. Dude, you're going to get to two and just be like, because it's such a change. Yeah.
Sort of.
Let's just let him.
I'm just talking. He's talking about let him the enjoy it.
No, 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 no. The game and the systems.
Don't ruin the Citadel.
Like, the game design and the systems and the mechanics are all way better in two, but mm-hmm. What makes one the better game is the storytelling and the characters. Like, it's such a cinematic game.
You speak the truth, my friend.
I'm a Mass Effect 3 fan.
You don't Shut even up. Know what you're saying.
yeah, but we'll see.
Please do like go off the grid and like finish that game because I want to talk to you.
You weren't on that episode. Points. If I don't finish all three games by the time Andromeda comes out, I'm quitting the show.
But like someone,
no,
selfishly.
You said you're quitting IGN.
I'll also quit IGN.
You said
and
you're quitting.
Aren't you also buying Alana and I In-N-Out?
Yeah, that'll be my last act.
Then isn't that also happening? Yeah. And then we're buying you In-N-Out if you actually finish all three games.
I'll do it.
I'm starting Mass Effect 2 soon, so. Not to
selfishly, I don't care if you finish all three games. Like, I just want to talk to you about one, because that's the story.
If you played
cool.
every night for a few hours for 2 weeks, you'd be done with one.
That would require him to not go to the bar.
Can I bring my gaming PC to the bar and hook it up to the
Actually,
TV?
Yeah, you could bring a laptop.
Yeah.
I got into a really big discussion over the weekend about this because, like, Nick Scarpino and I went and saw Jack Reacher, and...
it was awful.
Well, yeah.
Don't go see
I already
it.
Said that before. But, like, we got into an argument about video game storytelling versus movie storytelling, and he was like, video game storytelling sucks. There are no video games with good stories. And I was like, hold on. And I had to tell him the whole story of Mass Effect as to demonstrate... that he was wrong.
Mass Effect.
Didn't really have the same effect.
Portal 2.
Yeah.
There
Anything
plenty.
Tim Schafer has ever touched.
Yep. Journey, Uncharted, yeah. The yeah. Last of
We're
Us.
We're getting there.
Like,
I mean, is it
Bioshock?
Is it way behind
Halo.
Movies oh, yeah. overall? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so my argument
but
was like...
We're getting there.
Combat story.
No, we're
combat,
in the...
Firewatch.
If you're judging... And I don't want to get... This is a whole discussion unto itself, but my argument
Breakdown.
Was that... If you're judging storytelling by the cinematic standard, then yes, gameplay gets in the way of that... But I think for a lot of people, video game storytelling isn't the cinematic form of storytelling. It's the experience you have of playing the game. Like if you ask people like what their memory of X game was, they're like, oh, I remember playing that game with my dad on the couch.
Yeah.
That's the storytelling.
Yeah.
Like that's what storytelling a video game is. And so like to say one is definitively better than the other, it's like comparing apples and oranges. Mm-hmm.
Voodoo Vince is literally coming back because Phil Spencer had
played the game on the couch.
Played it with his kids when they were young.
Yeah.
at least that's my interpretation of it. So, Marty, that's actually – there's one other key question that I must know. Paragon or Renegade?
Oh, I'm going to go Paragon. I'm every game I play in,
Grow a pair.
In Fable, I always have a halo over my head.
Oh,
I'm like
man.
The most Jedi ever.
You know,
Paragon too,
yeah. When Peter Molyneux was in here for the Xbox One reveal 4 years ago, 3 years ago, three and a half, I think it was then that I asked him, hey, do you play – good or evil in Fable. And he had told me that, and I'm pretty sure this was on the air, and even if it's not, whatever, it's fine now, I'm sure, but he had told me that something like 90% of players will play good.
Yeah.
If you give them the choice.
It's still good in the world.
Huh.
Which, yeah, it does actually reaffirm a little bit of faith in humanity, but I go evil. I was so evil in KOTOR.
Yo.
I was so evil in all three Mass Effect.
I can't
because
do it.
Because I can't. Like, no, games usually don't allow me that, and I want to see what happens.
See, I totally get that, but it's because I am the character
right.
that I feel like I have to be good.
But I can't punch reporters in real life.
So, again...
So Mass Effect allows
go
me
out
to
there
do
and
that.
Punch Goldfarm.
Renegade is definitely more fun.
Really? Okay.
Like, Renegade is definitely more fun in Mass Effect. I watched my roommate play it after I played through as Paragon, and that part where he punches out the reporter came out of nowhere. It's so good.
In Mass Effect 2, I shoved a man off of a building.
That's
off
awesome.
Off of an under-construction building.
That's your
building.
First...
Because
alert,
all it
Marty.
Says is, like, the Renegade option is just... It just says, shut her up. Like, it doesn't give you any indication that you're going to physically
assault
her.
Well, that's what's cool about Mass Effect, is that none of the dialogue choices are ever explicitly telling you precisely what's going to happen, either with the dialogue itself or with the Paragon or Renegade action.
Yeah. That's cool, though.
You're making me want to go play Mass Effect more
Mass Effect
now.
Really
is
good.
So
Are you playing
good.
On Xbox One or PC?
PC.
Because Dan made you?
Not because Dan, maybe. Just because Dan
well,
let me take home a super small PC that runs really well. And I also
don't...
I don't
buy
know where my 360 or my PS3
are. Where'd you buy the games?
I'm just using my press account.
The loading times.
They don't
times,
have 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah, man. Loading times.
Loading the elevators. Time, the loading times, are, you're better off on PC. For Mass Effect 1 in 2016, the loading times.
Well, loading times are great.
And the fact that only Mass Effect 1 is backwards compatible. So I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It looks great on Xbox.
So, yeah, you wouldn't be able to.
Little frame rate dips.
If you make it through little endeavor of yours, you wouldn't be able to.
And Dan also downloaded a bunch of patches and things that like the game looks a little bit better, and I'm able to play with control, which was something that was like you sort of had to mod
it's
in.
3 is not available on Steam though; it's on EA Origin.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'll get there.
Sort it out.
I'll sort it out. All three of them are on my desktop. So
okay,
one at a time.
It'd be funny if I beat both games. I'm like, oh, 3's not on here. I'm quitting.
Yeah.
Barry, we'll give you the money. We'll start a GoFundMe for the $10 it probably costs.
Borrow my copy.
Do you guys remember the launch trailer for Mass Effect 2? That's like one of my favorite video game trailers. Like,
it's very
ever.
Good. Not for 2.
It's very, very good.
I want to do
the intro
a feature about that. Have we done that feature? Best video game trailers?
We should.
No.
Nope. Yeah. We did a face-off.
What?
We did a face-off.
We should move on because we've been in an hour.
Along already, yeah.
Okay, Destin, I guess we'll move on then.
I'm just moving the, like, on Fireteam Chat, you know, I'm a stickler
for
time.
Kill the conversation.
Finally this week, so last week we talked about the NPD hardware numbers, with the Xbox One being the best-selling U.S. home console for the third month in a row. Well, the software numbers are in, and sadly the actual numbers aren't in, but the rankings are in. 1 through 10, here we go. So let me know if you sense a pattern, gentlemen. NBA 2K17, the number one selling game. That is, by the way, not a surprise. That game, whether you believe it or not, or whether you've, some people, I think, just don't even realize NBA 2K is a juggernaut.
Yeah.
It not only does well in the U.S., but it's huge in China as well.
Basketball is huge
there.
Yeah.
Also, those games are just really good every year.
That, too.
Really? On Xbox?
On everything.
Huh.
Well, I don't think they're on PC. Did they? No, I don't think they're on PC. It's just, PS4. But they're on, I think they're still doing old gen versions, so that certainly helps goose the numbers because there are still plenty of 360s and PS3s out there. But
good point. Right.
NBA 2K17, Madden NFL 17 doing strong in its third, third month. Second month because these are the September numbers, sorry. FIFA 17, NHL 17, that's actually really good showing for NHL. That's a series
that's hockey, everybody.
Yes. Thank you, Destin. Thank you, resident Canadian. Yeah, NHL 17 at number 4 in its debut month. BioShock the Collection.
That's an old game.
Makes me a little sad inside. at number 5, Destiny the Collection.
Woot woot.
At number 6, Grand Theft Auto 5 slipping to number 7, but still continuing.
But still on there.
Still continuing.
What, 3 years old now?
Believe it's been off the top 10 since it came out.
That's crazy.
3 years ago.
That's crazy.
I don't have any proof of that. That's just my gut talking, but I'm going to bet I'm right on that.
We're seven games in, and we got sports and old games.
Sports and old games. Overwatch?
Old games.
Old
that
game.
One's new.
It's new-ish. It's new-ish.
Forza Horizon 3
at number 9.
Did it.
Nice.
Actually,
and number 10, Black Ops 3.
I've said this many times.
Black Ops 3.
I am not a big racing games guy, but everything
I'm not a big racist.
I thought you were going there, too. It's a heck of an episode.
Good for you.
I'm not a big racing game guy, but Forza Horizon 3 looks awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly... Go ahead, Destin.
Didn't we have a bet about Minecraft?
I don't know.
Like, staying on
this list? I don't remember a bet.
I'm sure
it's come up.
I thought we said that Minecraft would be on this list, but it's not.
Minecraft is dead, y'all.
It finally fell off the list. Will it be back next month? Stay tuned to find out.
Probably not next month. No. I'll bet it's back in January, though.
Yeah.
Honestly. You know, once the big fall releases are over.
Again, NPD is only hard copies, right? I'll bet you...
No, it's moved to digital.
Yes. Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was going to say, because I'll bet you most of Minecraft copies being sold these days are digital copies.
No, it was on the physical reports for, like, ever.
That's what I was saying. But they're just saying NPD is now digital
You're both
hardware.
Correct. Mm-hmm. You're both correct. It was certainly selling a lot of physical copies on 360 and on Xbox One as well.
Mm-hmm. But it's also
selling a lot of digital copies.
If you're including digital sales, it'll never be like whatever's big that month.
Minesweeper.
I don't think.
Still the number one game in my heart.
I'm really happy for
for Playground and for the Forza series. I mean, Horizon 3 being on here. Because, you know, I know you might think, oh, well, it's only number 9. But, I mean, the fact it's an exclusive release. Yes, I know it's on PC, but it is effectively a single platform release. You're correct. It is the only single platform release on the top 10. And it's just great to see, because really, with Horizon 2, I mean, the first Horizon was good. Horizon 2 made the leap into, you know, GOAT kind of territory as far as racing goes, and Horizon 3 only improves upon it. But Horizon has always lagged behind in sales to Motorsport, mm-hmm. understandably so for a while. But even, like, Motorsport, I feel like, in its when it comes out every other year, only ends up in about this position mm-hmm. on the NPD chart. So I'm just happy to see that Horizon seems to, anecdotally, seems to be doing about as well as Motorsport does, which, thank goodness, because, again, I think Horizon's now the better series, and I want it to continue.
It also came out at a good time, before sort of the madness of the fall.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Marketplace report, Marty Sleeve. Actually, yep. You know what?
Wait, did we get to the last one? Call of Duty 3?
Yeah.
Or Call of
yeah,
Duty I mentioned Black Ops 3? Okay, cool.
You know, it'd be weird if it was just Call of Duty 3.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Throwback.
Hey, Treyarch. Yeah. What? Sean Finnegan. Mm-hmm. We don't get to see you too often.
Yeah.
Marketplace report. What can we spend our money on this week?
At retail, we have Titanfall 2, Skyrim, what is that?
Special edition.
Special edition.
There I'm so eager to dive in. I've heard nothing but interestingly good things mm-hmm. about the Titanfall 2 campaign. Now, the
very
report,
excited to play the campaign.
The report from Brendan Tyrell is that it's excellent. It's not, like, going to blow your mind kind of good, but it's just, it's a really, really, really good campaign. Just a lot of variety, a lot of things to do. So I can't wait to hop into that. I mean, that's what I've been wanting out of Titanfall since the first one came out, when it didn't have it. So can't wait.
Skyrim Special Edition, we said that. Farming Simulator, is that 17 I read? Farming
Absolutely.
Simulator 17.
2017.
Got it. Okay, not the 17th.
The 17th Farming yeah. Simulator.
Because I was going to say, and that's a $50 game, by the way. That's
discount.
People like farming.
Can I buy Farming Simulator 17 Husker, Corn Husker Deluxe Shucking Edition?
It's only if you pre-order that Farm and Fleet.
Those games are fun two ways. Like, yeah, you can make a realistic farm and just farm it and, like, do really well at farming. Or you can make a totally ridiculous farm that's just stupid and giggle about what you've created.
How is the marketing tagline not get shucked?
It might be.
Or shuck you.
That's a good one. Farming.
It's a missed opportunity, you guys.
Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, which I love Dragon Ball. And Just Dance 2017. That's at retail. On the digital front, we have King's Quest Chapter 5, The Good Knight at $10. Oh, God.
Every episode title a pun?
That's really good.
I'm so happy about this.
Kirinaga's Revenge at $20. Don't know what that is.
Puzzle game. A little 2D puzzle
Big Buck Hunter Arcade at $20. Got to send that one over to Matt Maresco.
Remember when those used to be just multi-million sellers by virtue of being on the shelf at Walmart?
Yep.
And I mean, I remember when I worked at Staples in college.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a PC games section in our software section, you know, amongst the productivity, you know, like office software. And we would always get, in every, like, shipment, every week shipment, there'd usually be a copy or two of the Big Buck
Big
Hunter game.
Buck.
Because every week, like, somebody would buy one or two of them.
Is there a Big Buck Hunter game where you fight, like, mythical beasts? Like, where you have to hunt Wendigos?
Monster yes. Hunter.
Griffins.
Yeah, I guess that's what Monster Hunter is. Yeah. Yep.
Infinite Air
Capcom
with Mark McCorris.
What's that?
Yeah, who is that?
Who's that? I want to
find
out.
Nothing,
that title could not be less descriptive than what it is. What Infinite Air? So is it like a snowboarding game?
It's
like
a flying game because it's game? Infinite Air. No, it's not.
Is it like Pilot
sort of
Wings?
Some sort of
is Mark McCorris
sports.
Like a skydiver?
Also, wait, how are you pronouncing it?
McCorris?
McMorris.
Mark McMorris.
That's what I said. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dropping an M there, Sean.
Whatever.
I'm like, wait a second. This doesn't sound
McCorris,
right. What are these guys
McMorris?
Saying?
Also, it's ballsy of that game to throw that dude's name in the title when no one knows
they were
who
like,
he is.
The name is important. It's really marketable.
Come on, this is one of those things where
name sounds fake.
Literally everyone who likes that sport knows who Mark McMorris
you don't even
is.
No, what sport?
3Ms? But Mark, none of us Mark know. Morris? That name sounds fake.
How much do you guys want to bet that literally no one out in the editorial pit knows who that is?
We live in San Francisco where nobody, knows. Like, we don't have the space to have dirt bikes or
Matt Maresco knows it's who definitely Mark McMorris is.
I'll bet Kirsten Slater knows who he is. Yeah.
His nicknames are McLovin and McRib.
Oh, my God.
He is a 22-year-old snowboarder 22? From Regina, sorry, Saskatchewan.
Snowboarder.
Somebody out there knows who he is.
Just man,
my life,
I thought, are we
I'm
like
not
the Sean White
I didn't accomplish
people?
Anything by 22.
Yeah.
This guy's got his own video game.
Why do we even know who Sean White is?
Because he was like...
He was an Olympian.
Olympian, right? Yeah. Okay.
He won like us a bunch of gold medals.
I can't remember
when
why,
I think of
but I knew
the flying like, tomato. That's the most marketable snowboarder to me. Yeah, like he's got that big red hair. Or
well,
he
Mark
used to.
McMorris has been dating Coco Ho, a pro surfer since
Who's
2012.
That? Who is Coco Ho?
Infinite so, Water with Coco Ho coming next week.
What are,
that's crazy.
Infinite, I mean, to be fair, both water and air, if you're gonna in. Slap the infinite name on something.
Yeah, those are
two
infinite.
Good elements to do so.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Moving on, Hasbro Family Fun Pack Super Edition.
Bunch of boards. We're talking about board games. If you like those, there you go.
Team 17 Variety Pack, $24.75.
Like worms, etc.
Interesting price point.
It's on sale.
Ginger Beyond the Crystal.
That's weird. I think of Ginger, who works here.
Yeah.
Monster like, Jam, colon, crush it.
This game's called Monster Jam, crush it. It's
by the way, crush it. Have you... So,
it's going to crush sales records.
Gravedigger is on the cover of this. I was way into monster trucks when I was a kid. When did Gravedigger become like the most popular monster truck? Because it used to be Bigfoot.
I was going
to
ask.
The blue Ford pickup, Bigfoot. But Gravedigger has completely... usurped Bigfoot, and I don't know when and how that happened.
In my 3 years on
the
show, the
wrong
I have
people.
Never been so confused. Yeah. I've never been so out of my element.
Did you ever go to a monster truck rally when you were a kid?
Never.
No,
you're from Wisconsin.
Yeah. I've been to one.
Is it big in the Midwest? Is it big in Arizona?
They'd have them at Sun Devil Stadium, the college football stadium.
Huh. I never got how
Sunday,
such a little
Sunday,
car
Sunday.
Powers such big wheels. Like, how do they?
The Comedy Button guys go to monster truck rallies all the time.
Yeah. Really?
They extend the chassis, I think, like just so it's further
does,
down and then put
like,
on the big
isn't
wheels.
But is the engine still just like a regular sized engine?
Well, no.
Do we
it's
really
want to
get
engine.
Into the engineering and physics of monster trucks?
It just seems like a really strange machine. A giant, like huge wheels.
Well, they're
with
not
tiny
street legal, if that's what you're wondering. You won't see one rolling down Lombard Street, at least not without
fun.
Crushing
it. That'd be pretty fun.
That would be kind of amazing.
Actually awesome.
Though, yeah. If they do that in movies all the time.
Monster trucks down Lombard Street?
No, monster trucks just down a normal street running over cars.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I've seen it in a few flicks.
That old cinematic trope.
Yeah. I was like, I can't think of a single movie where that's happened, but I'll trust.
Anyway.
Remember that scene in Bullet when Steve McQueen gets in a monster truck?
Anyway, congratulations, Gravedigger, for apparently putting Bigfoot in a grave.
There you go.
Did you just congratulate a truck?
Yes.
Okay.
It has persevered.
He deserved it, Marty.
Gravedigger was cool when I was a kid, which was an eternity ago at this point.
What if it came out? What if it came out that Gravedigger's super racist? I got tapes, Ryan.
Gravedigger. So Gravedigger is Hulk Hogan.
Gravedigger's Hulk.
Grab him by the bumper, Marty.
What the hell?
Last game on this list.
We're all fired.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter, $50.
Oh man.
Are those? I don't even.
People like Sherlock, I guess.
I like
it's,
Sherlock.
Honestly,
Holmes.
That's a. It's a really good series. It's one of those very under
free,
the radar.
So.
It's
not
a really
one.
Good adventure game series, like point and click style adventure.
Yeah, Sherlock was one of the games with gold recently.
That's true.
Yes. Are we going through all these games too?
Yeah, what's going on in the marketplace?
The Orange Box is now backwards compatible on Xbox One.
Yes.
Yeah,
play those games.
Yeah,
do yourself
yeah.
a favor.
Oh my gosh. You talk about, I didn't do that review for OXM, but one of the easiest 10s. Yeah. It's my good. I mean, it was
all these amazing games.
Yeah.
It was a really excellent port of Half-Life 2. Fun fact, there was a not-so-good port of Half-Life 2 for the original Xbox.
That's right. Yeah.
But Half-Life 2, Episode 1, Episode 2, which, oh, that cliffhanger in Episode 2! The portal tie-in, I need to know how it ends.
They're never going to finish that series, so
that's over.
Then Portal.
So. Portal.
And Team Fortress 2.
And Team Fortress 2.
Which is an awesome shooter.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
Really, really good. October Games with Gold, we got Super Mega Baseball Extra Innings, which is all month, and then The Escapists from October 16th to November 15th on Xbox One.
October 16th to 11.
Yep. MX versus ATV Reflex.
R.I.P. That's over.
Rest in peace. Mr. Chance.
And I Am Alive the last 2 weeks
all right,
of
that's now.
October. November Games with Gold, we got Super Dungeon Bros. That's all month long. Murdered Soul Suspect.
I remember when you played this.
Not a great video game.
Murdered Soul Suspect.
Interesting. It's
the concept is better than the execution.
Concept is better than the execution.
Are you talking about Murdered Soul Suspect? Yeah, I actually was asking you about this game last week because I was like, what if we did a short where it's like you have to investigate, because we love detective stories, how do you have to investigate your own murder? And someone's like, that's a video game. I don't remember what it's called. And then we found out, and I was disappointed.
By the way, that game killed that studio, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Remember?
Was it Airtight?
Yeah.
Get these next two games.
Bummer. Monkey Island Special Edition, the first 2 weeks of November, and Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, the last 2 weeks of November.
I wish I could hold you
those
all.
Those are both on 360.
I wish I could hold every one of our listeners at gunpoint and make them play Monkey Island.
Well, you can, Ryan.
I can?
Monkey Island is one of the best adventure games of all time.
It's just so good. Real good. Unbelievable.
Those are both for 360, but they're both backwards compatible on Xbox One.
Yes. Good stuff. All right. Let's come right back. We'll do the trivia that Destin's been eagerly awaiting for the last couple weeks here. Right after this. Okay, unlock block trivia time. So, Kyle Miesbauer from New Mexico. Boy, have I got some pleasant news for Kyle. We got a lot of cool stuff to give away.
Really?
Ooh, doggy.
Including copies of every Gears of War game for 360, because apparently everybody, as you've probably seen on the ads on TV, everybody that's buying Gears 4 is getting download codes for the other games. So, Kyle, if you want any of the Gears of War games from 360, let me know, and I will hook you up. I also do have a copy of Master Chief Collection, which was kindly donated by a listener. Now,
that's the one you should get.
This is about to get real good, so step up your game. Send me a good trivia question this week. We'll get to this week's in a second, because Microsoft kindly sent a Battlefield 1 Special Edition Xbox One for us to unbox, which we did, and now give away, which we're going to do next week. So that'll be next week.
Is that an S?
Oh, yeah. It's a 1 terabyte.
Can I submit a question?
Yes. Yes, you can.
We won't choose it.
Oh, dang.
100%, yeah.
Totally submit it.
Sardi Miva. Maliva.
Wait a minute.
All right. So anyway, Kyle wins this week for his question. I know he's probably slapping his own forehead now going, oh, I missed it by a week. But I've still got some cool prizes. Kyle asks, which cable TV channel sponsored the first map pack for the original Gears of War, which probably made it free, as I vaguely recall. I'm old. I can't remember back 10 years ago. But yeah, do you remember it would have been a Gears of War map pack sort of like brought to you by, was it Spike TV, the Science Channel, the Discovery Channel, or G4 TV? Do you guys remember this? I confess, I kind of narrowed it down, but I did not remember the answer to this.
Same. No idea, but I guess I'll go first.
Sure.
I picked G4 TV because I don't think Spike was a thing back then.
Okay.
I think
didn't
Spike...
G4 become Spike?
No, they're different things.
Wasn't Spike not Spike?
Spike
before
used
they were
to be. Yeah. Did used to. Wasn't it? Hold on.
Wasn't it the
TNN?
TNN. Yeah.
Like the net, literally the Nashville network.
Yeah.
Wow, what a pivot for that, network, huh?
Yeah, I'm. I feel like it's Spike or G4. I'm going to go with Spike, just to be different.
Destin?
Spike. Yeah, so I vaguely remembered this being a really weird tie-in when it happened, and the garden level pushed me towards Science or Discovery, and I'm like, I don't think I'd watch the Science Channel, so Discovery maybe? So I went with 3 Discovery Channel.
Okay, let me see where our scoring is at. I know Marty's been leading the way.
Spike seemed too obvious.
I just don't think Spike was the thing.
Marty at 15, Destin at 13. Until now, Destin, the only correct answer.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, narrowing the man. Race.
But real quick, how many points do I have?
Shark at 4.
Sean,
all
Wall.
Right. Hey.
I so, got it, man.
Good stuff, Destin.
That was that brought me back because I remember I'm like, what?
Good
oh,
stuff.
There's a garden yeah, was, level, I guess. Crazy.
It was the Discovery Channel sponsored that first snap pack for Gears 1. So good job, Kyle Miesbauer from New Mexico. You've won a fun prize.
Great
again,
question.
If you want to win, there is an Xbox One on the line, a 1 terabyte. The bad news is it's in a kind of hideous olive green color, but hey, it's a brand new Xbox One S, 1 terabyte, with a copy.
Put it deep into your entertainment system.
Of Battlefield
just hide
1.
It.
Yeah.
Don't shine any lights on it. It's going to work just fine.
So I need a trivia question, include 4 multiple choice answers, note the correct one in your email. If it's one, I can tell when people just Google like Xbox trivia questions because the things that come up are the Rock thing, like who was on stage with Bill Gates. Like yeah. I already know what to look for. You're not going to win. It is a random draw, but if I randomly choose you and then you have a either repeat question or dumb question, I will move on and choose someone else.
There are no dumb
questions.
Because
those are my godlike powers.
There's absolutely dumb questions
on this show. So yeah, send everything in to unlocked@ign.com. Remember, include your shipping address because I've got a thing I will ship you if you win.
Did you stipulate that these all have to be Xbox-related questions?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, darn it.
I just thought it'd be kind of fun to do, like, random multiple-choice questions.
Not even about video games?
Yeah.
Which actress was in the Resident Evil movie?
I might actually get more points that way.
What is the 6th number after the decimal related? Point in pi? Like, oh, son of a... It's 2, by the way.
Yeah.
You know pi?
I can go out
3.1415.
Why?
927.
Why do you guys know that? Why?
They drill it into your head in school.
Nope.
I got it anymore.
I got it drilled into my head.
I also am terribly bad at math. So like, I didn't pay attention to math.
That's why I went to journalism school.
Yeah. 69. Right. I can remember that. Let's go. 4-3. All right. A few more numbers, but I'm good.
You are not super drunk if you were drinking along with Marty's lies this week. You kind of you tailed off on your lies.
I wanted to keep you sober. Sober.
Don't drink
October.
And drive.
Don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive. IGN Prime is an easy way to support what we do here and get yourself an ad-free IGN experience. Go to IGN.com/Prime. Give us $29.95. We will give you 1 year of no ads in front of videos and no ads on the IGN homepage. You can find me on Twitter @DMC_Ryan. I would encourage you to please check out the Unfiltered with Vince Zampella talking Medal of Honor Allied Assault, the formation of Infinity Ward and how Call of Duty got started and the lawsuit and Titanfall and all kinds of fun stuff. Went down to Respawn to shoot that. That was a good time. Destin?
All sorts of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Like a lawsuit.
Well... He did at least talk about it a little bit, which I really appreciated him being willing to do.
I'll take the opportunity to plug twitch.tv/TheDestinChannel and youtube.com/TheDestinChannel. I am going to be streaming Mass Effect 2 and 3 because, like Marty, I want to finish those games before the new game comes out. So just to kind of refresh my memory of the
So
the
you've already done the first game?
Yeah, I did the first one. It was actually back when I started streaming in June or July. That was the first game I played through on Xbox One.
Nice.
And now I'm going to be playing through on 360 Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Yeah, you don't have a choice. Well, that or PC.
Don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't transfer my save anywhere else. So, yeah. There is a trick where you can actually transfer from Xbox One backwards
Cloud
to
save?
Xbox 360. It's a weird... thing that you have to do at the end of the game.
Hmm. All right. Good to
but
know.
But anyway, yeah.
We will watch you play one of the classics.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Fantastic game.
Marty?
You can find me at McBiggity. I had no part in it, but you should watch The Secret Origins of Dark Souls, which Chloe, Zach, Kirk, a bunch of people worked on. It's this amazing, sort of like a mini 30 for 30, just about From Software and the inspirations behind Dark Souls and their early games and how a bunch of stuff impacted that series. It's a super cool video. One of my favorite things that's been on the site in quite
Marty,
a while.
Marty, please stream Mass Effect.
I usually get real drunk when I play games. I don't want anyone to see me.
Even better.
You're just not wearing pants.
No, yeah, don't.
Even better.
Enjoy it. Yourself.
I think we're going to look.
It does. Yeah.
We're going to get to. People are going to give me stopping points. And then I might come in and do like a 2-hour stream.
That's work.
of certain key decisions.
Nice. It does make it feel like work when you start doing that. Like, I want to play Red Dead, but I'm like, oh, I could stream Red Dead.
I know. I kind of want to go back to it, too. Yeah. I've got a year.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're one of our Australian listeners, Alana's going to be at PAX Oz next week. And she has a bunch of panels there.
Nice.
Saturday.
It'll be cool. Shark?
Follow me on Twitter at ShotByVinnegan. And since I have nothing really to plug because I worked on the same Vince Zampella stuff with you, I'm going to plug Dread, the greatest comic book movie. I watched it last night. It's awesome. Dread if you've seen it,
that's well, the second one, right?
That's the new one.
I'm talking about the remake. Not the 95 or not 96 one law. Was Judge Dread. And it's with
Judge
got a cool robot.
Stallone. It's terrible.
Judge got a cool robot.
I mean,
and guns.
You
the guns
are working
neat.
On our November IGN first, which should be of interest to our audience.
Yeah, I can't. We can't say anything about it yet.
I mean, we could. We choose not to.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, nothing. No one's stopping me with like a gun to my head. But yeah, like it's going to be a cool game. We were up there visiting when, like, I guess 2 weeks ago. So, stay tuned to that.
Excellent.
Half-Life 3. It was Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
Next month's IGN first is Half-Life 3.
I would. Literally walk into my boss's office and demand a huge raise. I got some for you.
Yeah. I want a raise.
Oh man,
that would be IGN last. Just go out on top.
That's right. Yeah. Drop the mic. Yeah. We're done. We're done after that.
With this last game, IGN first is over.
If you had an IGN first for Half-Life, like I feel like there would be a bloodbath for who got to go on that, or it'd be we're sending 15 people.
Yeah,
the whole studio is going up there.
Yeah,
oh, it's to dream. Dreaming.
That would be like all hands on deck.
I mean, in order for that to happen, that would have to be a real game, which it's not, because it'll never happen.
Never will be.
Don't remind me of
even Left 4 Dead 2 would be a big get.
Left 4 Dead 2 would be an awful IGN first.
I played it
Left 4 Dead 2
years ago.
Left 4 Dead 3.
Yeah.
It was like my bad.
3 is what you're talking about.
I'm tired.
I would go to my boss's office and demand you get less money. Left 4 Dead 2 is
Brian's
so
screwed up.
Brian's real he's slipping lately.
Let's go. Let's leave. Hey, look, it was somehow an hour, as usual. You're welcome, I think. I don't know. Or I'm sorry. It's either you're welcome or I'm sorry. I'm not sure which one.
Pick your poison.
It's fine. We'll be back with our usual round of shenanigans next week.
They will be a fun.
I'm 1 point behind. I never thought I'd catch up.
It's turning into a really good race because now we're down to like the last 10 weeks of the year. No,
I'm going
like,
to look at your phone year. Search history. I think you're cheating.
Wait, so how many points do you have?
I don't know.
It's 14 to it's 14 to 13.
So if I win every one and I'm on every
you'll
show up
until
the end of the year. No, because I have 4 points.
Yeah. Still in it. Not mathematically eliminated yet.
All right.
You're like,
I would have to get, we would have to get every
this
one
is when
wrong.
The this is when sharks attack. When you're least expecting it, Destin.
All right, Sean. Okay.
So, Destin and Marty both had both were handed drinks before the show, and both got rampant diarrhea during every episode. I don't know before
asleep.
Trivia. I don't
that's
know what
so
happened.
Weird.
To... Let's go. All right, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.